Thank you, Rosemary and Praise Team. We appreciate you guys so much. But and today an exciting day. Amen. It's like, praise God. Look what God is doing, right? But with amazing worship and people really coming to be worshipers by putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is so awesome. So we're going to take just a minute today. First, we're going to just pray and ask God to speak to our hearts and prepare our hearts, because not only are we going to do baptism today, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, where each one of us has a chance to remember what Jesus has done for us. So let's just unite our hearts in prayer for a minute this morning, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this day that you've given us. Lord, we stand here, Lord, only by your grace and only because Jesus died and rose again. And I just pray, dear God, that you would just work in our hearts now. I pray, dear God, that you would just speak to us as we maybe even contemplate, Lord, our own baptism, the time that you drew us to yourself. And I just ask, dear God, that you would just work now in our midst as only you can. Father, we just thank you, dear God, for all that you've done. And we ask, Lord, that you would just settle our hearts and our minds, Father, that we might hear your word. Lord, we know you speak in a still, small voice. And I pray, dear God, that you would do that right now and take away all the distraction. Father, we pray these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So you know what? We are going to continue our series this morning, Pursuing God. And we kind of worked our way through that book by A.W. Tozer that we had talked about for several weeks, that just really challenged our thinking and challenged our walk with the Lord. But you know, when we come to know the Lord, it's not just about knowledge, but God actually wants us to take steps of faith and really follow after him. So Pastor Ansu and I, as we're planning this series, like, you know what? This fits right on in there. So we're going to look at that this morning. So we're talking about knowing him, finding life. And by the way, all those people that you saw, they found life. Amen. In the Lord Jesus Christ. And today they testified to that fact that they are new in Christ. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. And that's an awesome place to be, right? So what we're going to talk about this morning is this idea about identifying with Christ and remembering his sacrifice, kind of putting together these two things. And by the way, if you've been around a Baptist church for a little while, or First Baptist Church, the two things, right, baptism and the Lord's table or communion, anybody know, what are they called? They're called ordinances. Ordinances, yeah, ordinances. That's kind of an interesting word. We're going to talk about what does that mean? There's something for all of us to kind of figure out and learn this morning, and we're not going to take a long, long time to do it, but we're going to kind of just dig in and understand what God has for us. And there's a question, I bet if you people walked in today, they probably say, what is baptism all about? You know, is it just we get wet? You know, our hair gets messed up, or we try like crazy, you know, with the little bag to keep it from not getting messed up? You know, what it's all about? What does it do? What does it mean? And that's what I want to dig into quickly this morning. And I want to say this as we think about our series of Pursuing God, right? We cannot guarantee, and by the way, I wish I could say it was true, we could. We can't guarantee better situations in our lives, but we can certainly be better people. Amen. You know, Pastor Anthony, I know, prayed for our country. I mean, who would have guessed yesterday we were going to bomb Iran, and Iran's bombing everyone else now. And I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know who's in charge of tomorrow. Right? So better people identify with Christ, and they purposefully remember his sacrifice. And I want to say this, you know, again, in a Baptist church, typically in a Baptist church, first Sunday is communion. It's always communion, right? So we remember his sacrifice on purpose every single month, because we don't want to forget what Jesus did for us, because it is part of our identity. And I want to kind of get a hold of that this morning as we kind of dive in. So I just want to step back for a second. And if you're looking at your Bible, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. You can keep your finger in there. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 28 just for a second. But let's talk about this second, for a second this morning, responding to the Lord. And if you're a believer in Christ, you had to respond to the Lord through faith. You had to say, you know what? Lord, I believe and I receive this free gift called salvation for myself. And in order for that to happen, somebody probably told you about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at two things real quick this morning. The first one is this, our commission. Everybody look up for a second. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, raise your hand. By the way, if you're not, we want to welcome you. Come on in, right? But if you're a believer, right? Keep it up for a second. Don't try to hide because I'm going to give you a job. All right? We're all believers in Jesus Christ, just about every one of us here. You can put him down. We have you on camera now, we know. But here's the deal. There's a commission or a commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us after he rose from the dead and went to Galilee and he got all the disciples together. He gave us a job to do. And that job isn't really complicated. It can be really messy and really hard, but the job to do is to make other disciples like yourself. And by the way, it's not just pastors and deacons and, you know, people that have positions with a title. As long as your title is believer, it's your responsibility, right? And we're going to talk about the carry out of that as well. So I just want to share with you Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Just so we're clear, this is not Pastor Gary talking or Pastor Ansu talking. This is God talking. And here's what he said in the Gospels. He says, by the way, first he said, Deacon Mo read it so well, he said, all authority is given to me. God, Jesus has all authority, all power. He's God, and he can tell us what we need to do, what we need to accomplish. And here's what he said. He said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, we just did that, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And I want us to get this in our minds real quick, right? God commands everyone who had their hand up, right, commands us to go and engage people about Jesus. And here's the funny thing. That can happen in so many contexts. You can engage them at work. You can engage them in your neighborhood. You can engage them in your family. You can engage them in your sport. You can engage them in whatever you do, whatever you're doing. It's interesting in terms of the language, that word is really a participle. And that's sort of a, you know, a figure of speech. And the idea is more like this way, while you're going. And by the way, don't y'all feel like you never stop going? Right? You never stop going. We're always running to do something, right? We got to get this done. Me and Pastor Ansu this morning felt like we were running a track meet or we were trying to race horses. There's all these little things we got to, you know, get done, you know, get done this morning, right? And Rosemary, same thing. You'll be checking this and checking that, make sure it's all going okay. You know, but we're all going. And he says this, hey, while you're going, make some followers of Jesus. And here's the funny thing about that. You know why that kind of works? Because there's a whole lot of people going just along with you. They understand what life's about, the challenges, the difficulties. You might be going in the hospital, and you know, if you're there, God might have brought someone else who's going through something, and he wants you to share with them. There's a hope that goes beyond the hospital door. Right, so he says he wants us to go, and he commands us to go and engage people about Jesus. And I want to share in this passage in the book of Acts. This is a great example. There's a gentleman. He was one of the disciples. His name was Philip. And check this out. Look what happened. It says, now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. And I'll throw this out. I don't know if he called out of heaven, Philip! Right? I'm not quite sure how he did it, but he knew that God spoke to him. And he said he spoke to Philip saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And by the way, think about that for a second. And by the way, you know where Philip was? Philip was in Samaria. Who else went to Samaria? Help me. Who was that? Remember the Good Samaritan, a story that Jesus taught? You know, the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans hated the Jews. Nobody wanted to go to Samaria. God sent Philip to Samaria first. And by the way, he went. And then God reaches out to him and says, hey, Philip, I want you to go down toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. You know, Gaza's along that coast. You know what? You know all about Gaza, don't we, today, right? We've seen more about Gaza, the carnage, the heartache, you know, all the stuff, the terrorism, all the things that go there. But he sent him to that very region to do what? engage the people about Jesus. And by the way, look at this last line. I thought it was kind of an interesting line. He says, this is desert. So, you know, God wasn't sending them down to the place where all the palm trees were and, you know, all the drinks with the little umbrellas were there. He didn't send them a place like that. He said, I want you to go down that way. And a lot of times, by the way, don't we think this as Christians? Sometimes we say, you know what? I hate snow, and I know God's going to try to send me to Alaska. Right? Or I hate heat, and he's going to send me to the desert, right? You know, and God, by the way, God does have a sense of humor. But if God sends us somewhere, it's going to be that place that you're going to grow to love. You know? And by the way, think about all of us. I actually grew up here in Willingboro. And Willingboro, you know, doesn't have a lot of amazing notoriety other than Carl Lewis. You know, we know about Carl Lewis, right? But, like, Willingboro is not, like, I don't live in New York City and, you know, I don't get to walk down Fifth Avenue. Like, Willingboro is Willingboro, right? But what a great place it has been for me and our family. And we've grown to love it and to love the people. And God has exposed us to things that we never would have got exposed to anyplace else. And different people and different ideas and different things. And God's caused us to be able to engage people in the things even that we love. And God's going to do the same thing with you, right? So check out, look at Philip, by the way. What, can you guys read that last line with me real fast? So the Lord said, remember what the Lord said? He said, Philip, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem. By the way, I yelled that. It sounds like my son's name is Philip. And I'm sure me and Jane, we probably yell, Philip, you know, get over here a million times, right? But he tells them to go. And I want you guys to read with me the last statement. What happened? Read it out loud. It says, so, and he went. Wow. Someone asked this question. Are you like Philip engaging people about Jesus? Philip didn't say, you know, Lord, it's hot down there. You know, Lord, I don't like those people. Remember Jonah? He said that. God said, I want you to go preach to the city of Nineveh and get them saved. And he's like, Lord, I don't want to preach to them. He said, you know what? I'm so slick. I am going to get away from God. He's not going to tell me what to do. And you remember what happened? Jonah became famous. He was swallowed by a fish. By the way, it's probably this kind of whale. It's called a whale shark. By the way, a whale shark could swallow a whole bus. So it was like being in a condominium when he was in there, right? Just kind of gross, probably, right? But he swallowed him up, and then he lived, and he spit him back out. And after that, when God said go, he went. So I'm not prophesying anything bad upon you guys, right? But if God calls us to go, that's the place of blessing. We ought to go, right? We need to go, right? And I just want to challenge us today. Who are those people? And I can think about this, right? In my own life right now, there's a couple guys that we're kind of working with. And God has them on my heart. I've known them for a little while. And I just want to see them really come to know Jesus. Because they need Jesus. And their families need Jesus. We all need Jesus because life is short. And heaven and hell are right there. And we want to get them going up, not down. Right? So I just want to think about this morning, who are those people? So let's talk about the next step, this idea about identifying with Christ in baptism, right? And here's the thought, right? There's this whole conversation. So by the way, everybody look up. Do you think God knew what was about to happen? God is, remember, he's called omniscient, all-knowing. He knows everything, and he's all-present too. Omniscient. He's omniscient, He understands all these things. He's omnipresent. And look what happens. So Philip says, so he arose and he went, and behold, like it's a surprise. Like, can you imagine this? Behold, it's kind of like, wow, what's going to go on here, right? Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. And you guys probably know what a eunuch is. Someone, sounds awful, but I was just saying, he's castrated because a lot of times eunuchs were the keepers of the king's harem. So we don't want somebody doing that job with different ideas in their mind. Right? That's what they did that for. It seems awful, seems terrible. That was the reality, right? But a little bit like, you remember when the Israelites were taken up to Babylon And there were some of the great people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a host of others, right? They were people that had knowledge and ability and skill, and they could do stuff that would benefit the kingdom that captured them, excuse me. So here's this guy, he's the Ethiopian eunuch. People don't have a name for him, but he became in charge of all of the queen's treasury. And I want you guys to understand this for a second. Candace was queen, you know why? Because her son was the king, but he was real young. You know, a lot of times like the kingship would pass from the father to the son. If the father died when he was kind of young, you know, the kid might be 7 years old and all of a sudden he's the king. Now, you guys as parents, could you imagine your 7-year-old being king? No wonder it became the queen who would run things, right? So here, and then she gets this really skilled, wise man to do that. But check it out. It said, and he had charge of all her treasury. But check this out. He came from Ethiopia. The gospel of Jesus Christ wasn't there. Judaism probably wasn't there in great ways. And it said he came to Jerusalem to worship. Huh. And I want to say this about that for a second. You might say, why did he do that? And I want you guys to think about this for a second. By the way, everybody look up. If you're sleepy, look up. No, I'm kidding, right? Here's the funny thing, right? But here's the deal. Here's why he came. And you can see this with people. Isn't this world kind of tiring? Like the ugliness, the sinfulness, the cruelty, the wickedness of our cultures just drains us sometimes, doesn't it? You know, I thought about what was happening last night. It's just like, Lily, it's a little bit unsettling. And then I had to say, you know what, God, just, you know, I know you're in charge. But this man who was elevated to a great position kind of was probably just fed up with the wickedness, the cruelty, and the ugliness of life on earth and was looking for a better answer. Everybody look up for a sec. You know, I'm just not kidding this time. But you know why? Think about the people that we run around with, right? People that we're going somewhere with, right? Do you know people like that? That are just like, I just can't believe how life is going. I can't believe how my family's going or whatever it might be, right? And that's why God uses us, because we're in the same boat. Who could better bear testimony to Jesus than someone who's experienced Jesus and found the hope in life that they really needed? And that's kind of the point, right? So here he is, right? So God set this up. So he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And you guys, if you look at the passage that's on the next slide, he was reading Isaiah 53. It talks about Jesus as the suffering servant of God who came to die for our sins. He's reading that, and look what Philip asked him. It says, so Philip, first the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. Now, I don't know. I wish I had Philip on the Awana team yesterday. Can you imagine overtaking a chariot, right? You know, I thought James Harrell, he's back there. Little James, man, He ran over everybody. Unfortunately, he ran over the cone too, so we got disqualified. But like, James is so fast, right? So Philip, I don't know if God gave him some extra wheels, but he ran and he overtook the chariot. And it says he ran to him and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. So this guy was reading the prophet Isaiah out loud. And Philip says, you know, he says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And by the way, in the honesty, this guy said, he said, how can I unless somebody guides me? And again, everybody look up. That's where we come in. By the way, none of us are all Bible scholars. By the way, we spent a lot of years in school. A whole lot of years, right? A whole lot of years. It's kind of funny. When you become a pastor, when you graduate school, for like about a week or two, you think you know everything. And then you deal with church for a little while, and sometimes you think you don't know anything. Right? And by God humbles us in a good way, right? So it keeps us digging and learning and growing, right? So here's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be able to tell people, here's what Isaiah is saying. And you guys know what Isaiah is saying. Actually, we're going to probably study this when we get to the Holy Week this week, this year, as we get to the Easter season. But Isaiah is talking about Jesus as the suffering servant. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up in the chariot and sit with him. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. God loved this man. God drew him by the Spirit. And Philip engaged him in obedience to what Jesus said. And that's what God wants us to do. By the way, that's kind of what we try to do that at church, where we have kids that go through our new members class, and Mr. Boyer, you know, drills them on all these things and helps them understand. And hopefully their little hearts go, wow, I need Jesus. And then our adults, the same kind of thing. You know, we maybe want to get baptized because there's a pressure to do that, or we think we need to do that, and we do, but we got to get saved first. And Philip engages him in that obedience, right? So that's the kind of the conversation. And check out the next thing. There's this conversation goes on. It says, and the place in the scripture he read was Isaiah 53. He said, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus was this quiet, suffering servant, right? It says, in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from earth? So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, whom does the prophet say of this, of himself or some other person? And look what Philip said. And Philip opened his mouth and, beginning on this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And I want to say to all of us here, you know what, whether you know Jesus or not, that's what we want to tell you. You know, you're suffering in life, Jesus. You're worried about the future, Jesus. You're looking back on your past and you're saying, man, nobody loves me anymore, Jesus does. Right? That's the key. We want to get our hands around, understand that, right? So he explains that to him, right? And then the next thing happens, check it out, here's the choice. He makes a choice and he says, so they went down the road and they came to some water. By the way, this is my dream one day, to baptize some of you all in the ocean or in the river or in the lake, not in the Meadow Baptistry, right? Or by the way, Pastor Anstey had a chance. He got baptized where, Pastor Anstey?
In the river.
And then he got baptized in the Holy Land, right?
Oh, yeah, the Jordan River.
In the Jordan River, right? That sounds pretty cool, right? And by the way, you only need to be baptized once, but if you get to go to Israel, get baptized in the Jordan River. It's kind of cool, right?
It's Julia cool.
Yeah, it's real cool, he said. No heater over there, but it's a neat thing, kind of where Jesus was baptizing people, right? And look what this man says. He says, so here, he says, see, here's water. And look at the question he asked, right? By the way, I wonder in that day, you know, in New Jersey, we say water. I don't know if he said, hey, Philip, here's water. I'm not sure. But and he said it probably in Aramaic or Greek, so it would sound different anyhow, but you get the idea. But check it out. He says, what hinders me from being baptized? And I want to ask you guys a question. Church, what hinders anybody from being baptized? Why don't we just reel them in off the street? The baptistry is already warm, it's filled. Just get them in. What hinders me from being baptized? You got to be saved first. Because baptized is an outward expression about what has happened in your heart. Right? And he says this. He says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And maybe the whole thing is not recorded, but basically he says, and you know what? And he died and he rose for my sin, my rebellion against God. So it says, so Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. And by the way, I'm not sure if that Philip or is that the man. Somebody commanded the chariot to stand still and said that both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized. And when they had come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Everybody look up. You know what? I see you saying Sasha right there. I hope you go on your way today rejoicing that I am a child of the living God. Right? I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Your life may be better, it may not be better, but you know what? Heaven is great. Amen. You know, and by the way, and God's going to be with us, whether it's good or bad, from the road all the way to there. So we can count on that, right? And I want you guys to get this in your mind, right? Baptism is a what? Remember that word we said? It's an ordinance. What's an ordinance? Man, it sounds like, by the way, ordinance can also mean like an explosive. It's not that. What is it? Here's what baptism is. It's a tangible expression of faith and obedience that Jesus established for us to observe. That makes sense? Some people might say it's a rite. You know, it's something like, you know, a sacred rite, like in the church. It is that. That word kind of scares us sometimes, like it has like this voodoo idea to it, but it's not. It's just God commanded us to practice this thing as a symbol of who we are. And when we come out of that waters of baptism, we come out of that waters as someone who's saying, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I died with him, my sins were forgiven, and I rose again up to new life. And that's the picture, right? And I want you guys to understand this, right? It is not a means of God's grace. In other words, if you get baptized, it doesn't mean like, I'm good now. What makes you good now is belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, some people call this a sacrament. Many faiths do this. It's a sacrament. And the idea of a sacrament tends to think that that's how I get this grace. But the answer is I get this grace because God gave it to me when I believed. And the only condition, everybody look up, get this in your mind, the only condition to be baptized is belief in Jesus Christ first. It does not save us. But it sort of illustrates what God already did, right? So we kind of want to get that in our minds, right? So a couple of important questions. And we're going to segue right over here. Have you believed that Jesus is the Christ who died and rose again for your rebellion, your sin? And by the way, you know that word, people use the word sin so much anymore. The idea is we just rebelled against God and say, God, I'm going to live life my way. I don't care what you say. And God calls that rebellion or sin. And the consequences of sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? So if you believe that, I'm not going to make you all raise your hand, but if you believe that, praise God. That's good. That's who you are, right? And here's the next question. Have you identified yourself with Christ through baptism? Maybe there's someone here that said, you know, I've never really been baptized. And I want to challenge you, would you consider and plan to follow the Lord in this step of obedience? If you never were baptized, by the way, you could be old, you could be young, you could be somewhere in between. You know, God wants you to make that public profession of obedience and say, you know what, I'm drawing the line in the sand right now and I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. And that's the key word about baptism. Write this on your paper or in your mind too. Baptism just means I'm identifying with Christ. Other faiths, even when Ethiopian eunuch, if he was a proselyte Jew, someone who wasn't a Jew from birth but kind of came in, guess what? The Jews would have baptized. Baptism is that I'm identifying with this belief, with this person, right? That's what he's trying to do. So I want to challenge anybody here, you need to be baptized. I just want to challenge you. We'd love to see you follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. We'd love to be a part of that. We have a new members class that Mr. Boyer teaches, and he just kind of clarifies all those things that we wonder about. And I just praise God for him, and God's word helps us to do that. So that's the thought I want you guys to think about. So the next thing we're going to move to right now is, and we're going to ask our deacons to come on up, is, you know what? Today's the day that we remember Jesus' sacrifice. I want everybody to look at me for a second real quick this morning. You know what? You and me, we didn't get to this place in life by God's grace without Jesus dying on the cross and suffering and having his body broken and his blood shed. We didn't get there without that. So the way we remember his sacrifice is the Lord's table or communion. And we're going to talk about that as we do it this morning. So we're going to ask our deacons to come, and we'll kind of finish the message as we do it, and just kind of challenge us to be people that participate in the Lord's table regularly, because it makes us think and it makes us focus. As Rosemary plays, just take a minute to pray to God. Talk to God about what's going on in your heart, how you live in, what are some of the struggles. Give him thanks that Jesus died for you. Just take a minute tonight just to bow down in prayer as we get ready to distribute the elements. Thank you. Our deacons are going to distribute the elements to you. So if you're a believer in Christ, we invite you to join with us and partake of those. Thank you. table is instructive for us to go. So Jesus, he did this on the night before he was crucified. And he said, and when the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him, and he said to him, with a fervent desire, I have had desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So I want you guys to think about this for a second. I got to take this lightly sometimes. So the Lord Jesus said, you know what? I'm not going to partake of bread or grape juice or wine until we're all together in heaven. And he continued, he said, and he took the cup. And Passover, by the way, has multiple cups. He took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. The Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he wants to do? He wants to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. This Passover supper with every single one of us as believers in Jesus Christ. And then he said this. He took bread. By the way, it's the simplest thing. Bread. Remember Jesus said, he said, I am the bread of life. Bread really is life. Bread feeds most of the world. It keeps us alive. And the living bread of Jesus Christ gives spiritual life to every single one of us that is dead in our sin. He says, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And I want to just encourage us. That's why we do it every month, because we need to reorient our lives every single month to remember that we live life because Jesus Christ gave it to us with his broken body and his shed blood. And I'm going to ask Deacon Richard if he would just pray for the bread right now.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this afternoon. Thank you to God for leaving your peaceful home and come to this crazy life and died for our sin. And you were sinless, but you came down and died for our sin. Father, as we are taking this bread as a symbol of your body that was broken on the cross of Calvary, Father, we say thank you for keep loving us. Father, you say we should do this in remembrance of you. And thank you for giving us the strength that every month we'll get the strength to come and do this in remembrance of you. As we eat this bread, let us strengthen those that are sick, those that are weak. Let us strengthen us, O God. Father, we say thank you that your name will be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys hold that little piece of bread up. The body of Jesus Christ was broken for every single one of us, that the bread of life might feed us and make us alive forevermore.
In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 23, Paul talks about, the ordinance when Christ had this with his disciples, the Last Supper. And I just want us to read verse 28. It said, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And verse 29 said, but I said to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And imagine Jesus speaking with his disciples and telling them, I'm about to leave, but this is what I'm telling you to do. But he gave them hope that even though he's not going to be with them forever, but in his Father's kingdom, that he's going to drink with them, he's going to be with them, he's going to reunite with them. And that's the hope we as believers, we do have today, that even as we celebrate his blood, we celebrate his life, his death on the cross, it gives us hope that when our journey here is over, we get to meet our Lord and Savior in heaven.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. And that is only possible for those who believe in him as a Lord and personal Savior. Amen. And we want to, at this time, ask Deacon John to just pray for the element of the wine.
Heavenly Father, we give praise to your holy name. We thank you, mighty God. We thank you for bringing us here together to fellowship. As you said in your word, we should do this in remembrance of you, Lord. Father, mighty God, as we are about to partake, which represent your blood, Lord, we pray that it will be a blessing to our body and our soul, Lord. And even as we move from this place, you will help us as we go into our Jerusalem, Lord, to be able to spread the gospel, to be able to spread your love, to be able to share and show the world we are the light. Father, mighty God, we thank you for everything you do in our life. We thank you for our service today. We thank you for all the candidates that were baptized today. We just pray that you continue to help us, Lord, and help us order our step, Lord, as we partake right now. We just pray that your name will continue to be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. As we lift the cup, think about the sacrifice that he made, sharing his blood that saves us from sin, our past, our present, and our future sin. Imagine he paid it with his blood. Amen. Let us remember him as we drink.
We're going to close in just a moment. We're just going to ask our praise team to come up right now. And we're just going to sing a couple of stanzas of victory in Jesus, which is very, very true. But I just want to say to you, even as people are moving around for a quick minute, you know what? Maybe you didn't believe in Jesus Christ until today, but we want to welcome you into God's family if you were to put your faith in him right now. If you have a question, please see me or Pastor Ansu, see one of our deacons, even ask your neighbor right there in the pew. We're going to close with just two verses of victory in Jesus, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to go out with God's grace into our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost parts of this earth.
Let us all please stand as we sing the hymn, Victory in Jesus.
To see. Yeah.
Amen. So if you're here today for the very first time, we want to invite you. We have a little gift for you in the back. And Deacon Jonathan, raise your hand there real fast. He got a little gift for you. We want to welcome you. And we're so thankful that you're with us today. And we want to ask, if you got baptized today too, would you guys make your way to the back? Because we want to greet you and just welcome you into the family. Pastor Anson's going to come and he's going to pray us out. And again, if there's any need, anything you guys have, please grab one of us. We're here to help. And that's why God put us right here. Pastor Anson, would you close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we have victory in you. We thank you, Father, for the hope we have in you. We thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time of worship. And Lord, as we leave to go today, may we go like Philip, sharing your word, accomplishing what you have for us to accomplish, Lord. Guide our hearts, guide our thoughts, guide our steps, and order us, O God, according to your will. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.